are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It's Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. My name is Michael Brooks on a Michael Tuesday, and this is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We're broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On today's program, Big Waz, Wozni Lambre, ESPN True Hoop, journalist, Twitter instigator, political analyst. We're talking about the Republicans still pushing to destroy healthcare. Ted Cruz says they shouldn't stop working until they gut it, while he pushes his particular scam, which quote-unquote moderate Jeff Flake is interested in. Don Jr., not smart, not bright, very not bright. And I'm not even tweeting in defense of him. Sorry, Don Jr., sad. The emails showing the eager young scion's attempts to get dirt on the Clinton administration, on the Clinton campaign, from a apparently Russian government connected source. Although that same apparent Russian connected source says Niet or Niet, whatever, she wasn't connected.
I love emails.
Yes, we do. And the Trump administration has called upon Eric Prince and another owner of a private contracting firm to draw up a plan for Afghanistan. Guess what? It involves a massive deployment of private troops. I guess this is what he meant by scaling back stupid foreign engagements. Just outsource killing civilians in essentially a heroin war to private companies. Israel's Labor Party elects a new leader, Avi Gabe, defeating Amir Peretz. And people are comparing him to Israel's Emmanuel Macron. Yuck. And rotted delicatessen platter come to life. Mark Penn had advice for Democrats. We'll talk about his advice and really his whole career and what has led up to this point, as well as his co-author. All that, and so much more, including a very big announcement on today's Majority Report. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being here. Waz all set up over there?
Waz is pretty much all set up over
Waz
there.
Waz always gets in a little bit late, and then he just strolls in, and he's always like, he does a little bit of a Sam. He's always like, where's my charger? Because I need to put my phone here. And then I look at the YouTube feed on my computer, and then I check my Twitter on my phone, and then, okay, now I'm ready to make comments. That's right. Hello? We got a couple of, is he good? He's good to go? I guess I got a new mic. In fact, that's my spot usually.
That's a brand new one there. I think that's one of the, I think Alex Jones uses that mic.
Oh, wow.
So you're in, illustrious. It's good to see you, Paizan. It's been too long.
It's good to be back. On the Communist Podcast.
Back on the Communist Podcast.
Web show. What are we calling this? Both?
Probably both. But I like how pumped you are with the advertising. We got some business to take care of. We got some ads today. But first, let's play this compilation Rachel Maddow put together of anti-Trump care protests that took place across the country. I think this is from her show last night. These protests, yes, it's running into some hiccups in the Senate, but as we always say, this is the way they subsidize massive structural tax giveaways to top-end earners. Mitch McConnell has money to throw around to lure quote-unquote moderates to vote for some version of this obscenity, which is going to be massive Medicaid cuts, get rid of the expansion, and certainly not protect people with pre-existing conditions, even if they say they do. So these protests are very important, and here they are as a compilation from Rachel Maddow's show from last night.
Members of the Ohio chapter of the disability rights group ADAPT staged an overnight sit-in at Senator Rob Portman's Columbus office that lasted more than 12 hours. That protest ended dramatically when 15 people were arrested. I'm going to show you a short video that may be a little bit upsetting. One woman was tipped out of her wheelchair by a police officer. Luckily, ADAPT says that none of their protesters were seriously injured by police. Some people were carried out of the building and put onto the ground, then loaded onto police vans. Today, the Senate came back from recess. Protesters were ready for them at the Capitol, having given them such a hard time at home. At Senator Dean Heller's Capitol office, parents brought their kids with disabilities to show how the Republican plan would affect the services they need to keep their families alive and together. A handful of protesters packed into Senator Cory Gardner's lobby at the Capitol, chanting, "Let me live, let me live," as a staffer stood there awkwardly and watched. Protesters were then zip-tied and perp-walked out of the building by Capitol Police. Similar thing over at Ted Cruz's office. About 15 activists, a lot of them nurses, were kicked out of his lobby, so they laid down on the hallway floor right outside, and they kept chanting. Police tried to carry one of these guys out by his arms and his ankles at the wrong angle. Senator Jeff Flake's constituents camped outside his office on the floor. They made a human chain to avoid being dragged off. Protesters also doorstopped Speaker Paul Ryan. They eventually wrangled themselves into his office despite the closed door. They chanted their concerns about the bill. The staffer said he would pass along their message to the speaker. All said and done, at least 80 people were arrested on Capitol Hill today.
Very important, and I mean, grotesque, tipping a woman out of a wheelchair, for God's sake. I just really briefly, Jeff Flake was one of those people that was targeted, and he's a supposed moderate, but he's actually indicated that he's open to Ted Cruz's plan. And just briefly, Ted Cruz's plan, as we said, would allow, basically, insurers could offer non-Obama care rules-based plans as long as they offer one that does. And what that means in practice is that they can offer junk plans that essentially provide no coverage. And let me just, I'm going to, because this is quoting from Kaiser, really briefly from this Washington Post piece. The health insurance market, from a Washington Post piece called Ted Cruz's Healthcare Plan Works Great Unless You Need Healthcare. The health insurance market, in other words, split into two. Healthy people would buy plans that wouldn't actually cover much, and sick people would try to buy plans that would actually cover them. As long as they weren't getting paid too much, they could do that. The Senate bill, you see, gives people making 350% of the poverty line or less, $42,210 for individuals or $86,100,000 for a family of four, the same kind of subsidies Obamacare does that automatically go up as premiums do, so that people who go up would be insulated from what otherwise would be unaffordable increases the Cruz plan would cause. Despite that, though, people with pre-existing conditions would still be considerably worse off under the Republican plan than they are under Obamacare. Why is that? Well, people who get subsidies would only be able to buy two plans they could really afford to use, and the ones who wouldn't would be able to buy any kinds of plans, period. There are two stories here. The first is that the Senate bill would peg the value of its subsidies to much cheaper plans than Obamacare does, so a lot of people would be pushed into higher deductible ones. As far as they're concerned, might as well be none at all. Indeed, in the case of someone making $18,090 or less, the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that their deductible will go from an average of $255 under Obamacare to $6,105 under the Senate bill. So that's what it does. And real quick, you know, Ted Cruz is out with this hustle, and he's got to play it from both angles, because he might actually get campaigned against from the right in a Senate primary, which is unbelievable because it shows you that devolution never ends. But at the same time, a lot of people in Texas actually benefit from Obamacare. And like Rand Paul, he might want to play to the right, walk right, but indirectly act left, if that makes sense. But here he is preening on Fox and Friends, saying that they should not take a vacation or go on recess until they've gutted healthcare.
taking a recess. There are a bunch of us, myself included, that have been urging leadership back from January. Let's not take any recesses. Let's work. Let's work every day. Let's work weekends. Let's work till we get the job done. And you know, it's really the people who are pushing for that are, I'd say, the folks elected in the last 5-6 years, what I'd call the Young Turks, that we have been consistently in the lunches pressing, saying, look, we got a job to do and we got a short window of time. And so we ought to stop taking recesses, stop taking time off, and just keep going until we get it done.
Well, there you have it. Let's just do a little bit of copy and then we'll get to it. Waz, you buy flowers for anybody?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day?
Yeah.
You're a Mother's Day guy?
Yeah. That's about it, though.
That's about it. I've come around on flowers. They work for a lot of different occasions. I got some in the mail coming to you, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Actually, the truth of the matter is
Well,
you already know that. So the truth of the matter is that I will spontaneously get, really honestly, it's my mom and my sister, flowers, like a small gift, because I am very close with them. And Pro Flowers, which is one of our new sponsors. I actually did this recently for them with my sister. It feels good to send a little gift like that. And look, predictability is boring. Surprises are exciting. Pro Flowers makes it easy for you to surprise anyone, someone right now. And they're making it even easier with a special offer to my listeners. Send Pro Flowers Farm Stand Flowers and get 20% off of this collection or any of their unique exclusive bouquets for $20 or more. ProFlowers.com makes choosing the perfect surprise bouquet simple and quick. You get to pick the exact date that your unexpected surprise will arrive, and the flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. It's more bloom for your buck. To get 20% off of Farm Stand Flowers or any other bouquets of $29 or more, go to ProFlowers.com and use my code CEDAR. SEDER at checkout. That's proflowers.com and code CEDAR, SEDER. Don't wait to make someone's day today. Go ahead and be unpredictable. And you spend a third of your life in your sheets, maybe in Waz's case, more. Are they taking care of you the way they should be? Introducing Brooke Linen, high quality sheets and bedding at a price that won't keep you up at night. Super producer Matt. Founded in April 2014, Brooke Linen offers simple, beautiful home essentials without the luxury price. It's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world because people love these products. Their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews. That's incredible. Plus, they have versatile colors and patterns that can complement any decor. I know it's a big concern for Waz. He does not mess around with sheets that do not complement his decor. This is a luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. I love my I haven't gotten them yet. I think that they're going to be probably Sam is going to be getting these, but I would like some. Maybe a gift for me. Brooke Linen has an exclusive offer for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code MAJORITY at Brooke Linen. In fact, Brooke Linen is so confident that you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. There's no reason not to give these sheets a try. The only way to get 20 off and free shipping is to use promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K. LINEN.com, promo code MAJORITY. Brooklyn, and these are the best sheets ever. And finally, I want to tell you about Smart Move. I guess, you know, this is something you have to think about if you're renting a space. 1 in 5 tenants have a relevant criminal hit, or that the TransUnion research show that 20% of rental applicants have at least one prior eviction. How would you know any of this? Let me tell you about Smart Move. Find out what you don't know about your rental applicants, and you can save 25% off of your new tenant screening with Smart Move. Smart Move is conveniently accessible online from any device. Simply sign up, start screening, and get your reports delivered to you within minutes. There are no fees, no premiums, just pay per use, If you you can also charge the renter, which makes it free for you. If you own a rental property and you know someone who does try free moves, so you don't find out halfway that the prospective tenant is an eviction risk, go to tenantscreening.com, enter code MAJORITY, and get $25, 25% off your next screening. Don't be in the dark about your applicant's rental history. Know your tenants with Smart Move tenant checks. Go to screening.com, enter my code MAJORITY, and get started with Smart Move. Smart Move, you'll get great reports, great convenience, and great tenants. Okay, Waz, so much to get to. But let's start with, when we talked about healthcare, let's give ourselves a little bit of a dessert here and talk a little bit, before we get to voter suppression, let's talk a little bit about Don Jr. Because this is just, it's sad. So
it's hard being a too big crook, man.
I know. It's like we were joking before that like the Kennedys are like in the background being like, you never put anything in writing, you morons. I guess this is what happens when you build a career not on bootlegging, but on being two-bit racist slumlords. Not very clever. So basically, I mean, the Times reported that over the weekend, that or yesterday, that Dom Jr. responded to a meeting with someone that he understood to be a Russian-connected lawyer, and they were like, we have dirt on Hillary Clinton. And he was like, okay, great.
Great. You mean then, our Secretary of State?
Right.
Or former, Secretary of State.
And then basically that, you know, he went to the meeting, and then he said it was much ado about nothing. Now, what's so weird is that his dad has not come out with a tweet storm
about
trying to protect
Donnie
him.
Jr. yet.
Not at all. Mm. Sad.
That's tough.
That is tough.
And his dad came out in defense of Michael freaking Flynn.
Of Michael freaking Flynn. And so this is just so weird because, like, I know we've talked about this, and I'm not a big, like, promoter of the Russia story. And I've always kind of
thought, I think we should just let it play out.
I think obviously a lot of people have been hysterical about it. You've got like the Louise Mensch, like, nutty conspiracy zone, and it's kind of become like a certain type of like really annoying hashtag resistance type, and this is all they can talk about. And it all, but then at the same time, there's other people that kind of were like denying the obvious, that there's questionable weird things there, and then being like, hey, if you talk about, you know, this sketchy report or Paul Manafort or a Mike Flynn connection, you're basically advocating for war with Russia. So there were like two kind of poles of dumb in this conversation.
I was in the middle of that poll. I was like,
yeah,
what does it ultimately mean, right? Like, these guys spammed a bunch of conservative voters and they fell for it.
Right.
Like, I guess that's interference, but what does it say about our voters, right? Like, that was kind of where I was with it until it turned into, well, they might have broken into machines. Well, they might have been able to get people off of voter rolls. I was like, oh.
I don't know about it. I mean, that stuff isn't documented yet,
right?
Like, that's been another problem. I remember I saw this one time, a hearing on this, and Senator Whitehouse, who I like in general, but he had this chart behind him, and it was like, I don't remember the specifics of it, but it was basically everything from, you know, connections between, like, say, a Flynn, then also, like, potential tampering with the integrity of the voting process. Like, you know, very real things.
Like, that's and important, then, but then, there's no proof of that yet.
Right. And then he also, in the same chart, it was like RT. And if you go to some of those intelligence, and RT, I mean, look, RT is a Russian propaganda source and it puts out a lot of garbage, but that is not, like, the idea that you're going to equate a global satellite channel with a perspective with direct election tampering is bullshit and actually really dangerous to conflate. So there's been a lot of sloppiness. Now, all that said, and I also just, even as dumb as I think these guys generally are, I didn't think that Donald Jr. was quite as dumb as to, and this is now, because now what happened today was that the Times were like, we're going to release these whole emails. And so Donald Jr. was like, I'll release it before you do. And Vox, this is the Vox headline from this morning. Love it. Trump Jr.'s response to meeting about, quote, Russia and its government support, end quote. Love it. I mean, if we were scripting
this,
it couldn't be any
better,
right?
It's just
two
on the nose.
It's just two on the nose.
Like,
if we were in
what?
The writing session,
love it.
You'd be like, Michael, come,
come on,
dude.
He didn't say that.
You got to discipline it a little
he
bit.
He said,
more.
Okay, see you soon. He didn't say, love it.
So now we have from today our favorite. This is another great thing is that all of this sort of like walking travesties of this dumb Watergate administration are emerging at once. And now Sebastian Gorka, who apparently was on the way out, but the reports that I heard was that Trump literally personally intervened to keep this guy on a job. And I got to say something about Sebastian Gorka. We've made fun of his PhD dissertation. We make fun of the fact that he's a, you know, at the very least, a pseudo-intellectual reactionary fearmonger with at least, you know, connections to neo-fascist groups that maybe he's too stupid to realize that he's a member of. But I actually think his actual role in the White House is really to be a spin doctor on TV, and he's respectable. Here he is on CNN discussing – oh, excuse me. Oh, this is MSNBC. Here he is this morning speaking on MSNBC with Stephanie Ruhle, talking about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Kremlin-connected lawyer. This morning.
It's 20% of America's uranium to Russia. That's a story. Let's talk about that.
Sir, that story, that uranium story, whatever in it you want to believe, are one of the reasons people did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton. But pay for play and those issues were issues that the Trump campaign harped on so desperately. So why would Paul Manafort, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump Jr. take a meeting like this? And by the way, if it was about opposition research, why would Donald Trump Jr. not come clean with that on Saturday and say, this is how campaigns run? To give us this story about orphans when 2 days later, yep, we wanted information on her. Why? Explain this to me, please.
Well, I think you should probably ask Donald Trump Jr., but if I was in his position.
So that's an official White House spokesperson throwing the president's kid under the bus.
Yeah.
And don't forget that, again, Manafort and Kushner were at this meeting. They just apparently weren't stupid enough to put in an email like, yeah, I'd be totally open to hear about like Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton. You fucking bitch.
I think the line still is that they weren't told what the meeting was for, which, I mean, when you're in the middle of a campaign, you have all sorts of time to just go on fun little adventures with your pals.
Yeah, exactly. Manafort's just like, wait, as someone who is literally like, personally misled people about being a journalist for a project I did for Pakistani intelligence, I think I can operate a little bit better than this. And Kushner's just like, oh no, my self-preservation instincts are kicking in. I gotta get back. My dad, apparently some Dominicans are complaining that there isn't hot water at one of my units. I'm gonna go write and tell them we won't turn it back on. Goodbye, everyone. All right, let's keep playing this.
I'd say very simply, because that meeting was not organized in good faith. The person who requested it had an ulterior motive, not from the one they indicated, which is a standard one, collecting negative information on your political opponent. Every party does that. But when it turns out she hasn't got any and she wants to talk about adoption, that's why this is a very, very complicated story and one in which the individual who requests the meeting is not acting in good faith.
So if she had the goods, would you feel better about it?
Well, it's standard political practice. You think the Democratic Party didn't collect? I mean,
no,
Hillary
sir,
Clinton
sir.
Collected opposition research.
It is not standard
on
political. It is not standard political practice to seek information from a foreign government.
Would you like to talk about Mosul, or would you like to continue talking about nothing burger story? When the Hillary campaign collects dirt on Bernie Sanders. What is that unusual?
Then why wouldn't Donald Trump Jr. say that on Saturday, number one?
Ask
and it
him.
Is not appropriate to do that with a foreign government. And if these meetings were standard practice, why wouldn't Don share that information? Why wouldn't Jared Kushner share that information? And as far as we've got Jeff Sessions, we've got Mike Flynn, none of whom shared information about meetings they had. Why wouldn't they share that? That's what brings us back here. The reason we know about this is because Jared didn't disclose the meeting. If it was such a nothing burger, put it on your forms.
So, number one, we have been in office for less than 6 months. In the first 125 days of this administration, there have been 126 leaks of national security information to the media. Now, that's a story. That's illegal. That's felonious. But you want to talk about a nine-month campaign talk about some... Can I finish?
Sir, do you think that people in the White House aren't leaking information?
May I finish?
Please.
Can I finish? Now, that's a story. 126 leaks. Seven times more than the Obama administration and seven times more than the Bush administration. But in the last 9 months, you and your colleagues and the fake news media, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times,
sir,
Washington Post, I'm going to finish.
Excuse me. You're welcome.
Have not managed to find one felonious piece of evidence. Not one. In 9 months. Don't you think it's time the American people were served by the media justly and you get to national security issues like Mosul?
We're going to get to Mosul in 1 minute. Mr. Gorka, if we should go after everyone within the administration leaking information, are you not concerned that Jared Kushner himself, possibly even the president, leak information?
So you know who leaked the information? Do you have those identities?
I'm asking you. Do you believe that...
No, I'm asking you.
Well, I can't answer that, sir.
Do you know?
I know that there are people within the White House who leak information on a regular basis.
What about Mosul was?
This guy needs to understand the nature of what a leak is. It means somebody who's working for or underneath the president... Or the president himself.
Yeah, no, I leak some.
Is
too.
Giving information to people secretly. This isn't like, you know, say the last presidential campaign where a foreign government hacked into somebody's email and leaked that information. No, this like.
But that's their frame. Is that this is like the deep state is undermining Trump. And I mean, I have no doubt that obviously there are people in FBI, CIA that have been trying to undermine this guy. And that's one of those wars where it's like, I mean, I think relatively speaking for the duration of dealing with Trump, I'll take it. But obviously our deep state does not become good guys in that process. But at this point, obviously things are getting leaked all over the place from within inside the White House. And I had gotten to the point where I really did think there's a shady line of connection with Trump and Russian like mafia money, and that's going to overlap with the government because that's how Russia is. And then there's like a Russian preference, and you know, like it's not like the Russians are, you know, like they're not stupid. They don't need to like set up explicit meetings to do this. They already have, you know, at the very least, a friendly campaign consultant like Manafort there. Right. They have Flynn around. They like, what do they need to do?
They have dirt.
Yeah, they have dirt. They have whatever they have on him. And now look at that. And that's, by the way, that's one of the funniest things that people have pointed out with that P tape thing, that Trump's biggest response is like, it's a total lie, the P. But the whole dossier is like, he's a compromised foreign asset. He said, yeah, whatever. People can believe what they want. I never had girls pee on me. But let me just quote from this, though, because this is and the meeting was facilitated by a guy named Rob Goldstein, who is a British publicist who arranged, now I'm quoting from Vox, arranged a meeting between Donald Jr. and lawyer Natalia Veselinaskaya, which I'm not pronouncing
it's
right,
tough.
I'm sure,
Russian
who is, works on behalf of Azari oligarchs Amin and Arzev Argalov. And the first email shows that Trump Jr. was informed that the meeting was part of the, quote, part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, unquote. All right, this is, now I'm reading from it. Emin has just called and asked me, this is Rob Goldstein. Emin has just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning, and their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but as part of Russia and its government's support of Mr. Trump, helping along by Aris and Emin. Trump Jr.'s response to Goldstein, if it's what you say it is, I love it. End quote. Now, I got to just say, before we get, because there is a sound of this lawyer we'll get to, but let me just say this to both of you. Dear Mr. Waz and Mr. Lek, I am a deposed prince from the Abuja region of Nigeria. If you can give me a contact form to your savings account and give me one payment of $1,000. The unchecked royalties to the gas wells of Zamunda, which are my birthright, will be delivered to me. It's like literally, except it's like a real Nigerian prince email, which it sounds like basically borderline incriminating.
And if it's what you say it is,
woo. If it's what you say it is, which is that the Russian government, I mean, could you imagine? I mean, again, we used this yesterday. I was like, could you imagine if like the Iranians contacted President Obama's campaign and were like, we've got dirt on Romney. Call him back up. Allahu Akbar.
Let's go.
If what you say it is, I love it.
I love it.
I love it. And by the way, I just want to say too, for the Hillary people, I really would not. I mean, one of the stories about Clinton's and Russia was debunked, and it was in some right wing hit piece. But I have no doubt that if you dug around, you could find, like, probably Bill Clinton did like give a speech to some Azari, like, you know, kleptocrat somewhere, right?
Some
I'm sure there's sketchy stuff.
Well, yeah, Gorka pointed to that earlier in that clip that I edited out. But he's like, yeah, Bill Clinton took money from that. But the problem with that is Bill Clinton.
Goddamn right, I took it.
I'm getting money from everywhere.
I'm getting stupid money.
All directions.
I'm getting money from fake universities. I'm getting money from oligarchs. I would take money from North Koreans so they fly me out there. I'm cash money. Records.
I mean, the interesting thing about this whole Trump Jr. thing is at that point in time, basically a year and a month ago, the whole point of their campaign was basically like, let's not get embarrassed historically.
Right.
So there's a certain kind of desperation that makes me unsurprised that something like this happened. I think the surprising thing of the last few days is just how dumb they are about making a paper trail.
Yes. And this is.
They thought they were going to lose.
They did. Well, right. Well,
that's
they were
an
trying
important
to avoid,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They were trying to make a better loss, basically.
Which definitely, I think, supports Sam's longtime theory about Comey, which is that Comey was going in expecting Trump to lose and also thinking he was still going to conduct a criminal investigation on him. So, like, trying to even go out of his way to harm Hillary to demonstrate,
I am absolutely not trying.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But within mind, like, there's some real stuff going on here that I'm probably going to have to look at even after this buffoon loses. But now this buffoon is president. Here's the lawyer. She was talking to today's Kerr Simmons, and she talked about her meeting with Donald Jr. What's really funny, too, also in that Gorka clip, is that the first thing that Donald Jr. basically said was, like, this was a meeting about adoptions. And then Gorka's just like, he was lied to. He was promised smears and ended up talking about pathetic Russian babies. He was misled, if anything.
This guy's level of pomp is
incredible.
It's out of a fucking James Bond movie.
I know.
It's amazing.
But not like first, like he's like the assistant who gets thrown into the shark tank after displeasing
the
main guy.
He's the lowest paid member of the cabinet or whatever. Everyone else is at like $180,000 a year. Gorka's at $155,000 and he's the only person.
I'm at $155,000. I was the junior associate at Spectre until I was killed at an annual meeting in Vienna.
and he goes, Obama had like one quarter of the leaks. I'm like,
seventh or something.
Like, dude.
Or seven times less.
That's technology for you.
Right.
Or like he's running a tighter ship. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
The things that were revealed with Obama were whistleblowing about really problematic, invasive programs that Obama presided over. They weren't things like, and then apparently like Obama's nephew went on like a shopping spree with the Amir of Qatar,
or that Obama,
and they're gonna open a chain of halal restaurants in Chicago, which apparently is also connected with some like crack dealer stuff like that. That's right. Like the level of things that
or people
about
leaking
people.
that Obama does nothing but sit around and watch MTV jams and YouTube clips of old Jay-Z videos, like
World Star. They're being totally unfair to me. Someone call Amy Goodman. Unfair. World Star. Oh my God. Oh. The windmill. Y'all gotta watch this. They're being totally unfair to me.
All he does is sit around and watch N1 mixtapes. Like, if that was leaking, that would have to be.
Yeah, you know
what?
That's his crotch in your face.
Yeah,
reversed on you.
Trump, it was revealed that Trump was watching Fox. He was tweeting about Fox and Friends at like 1 p.m. in the afternoon, which means he taped it. And he's like, it's time for my afternoon. Sit down.
He's maybe got Fox and I'm going to
pull
DVR.
The blinds. Pull the blinds. Have a nice little dark watch of
a little dark watch.
It's like, I remember watching.
You're my friends.
Yeah. You remember Are You Afraid of the Dark, the Nickelodeon show?
No. Of course.
So I remember like in the afternoons, you like pull the blinds, watch that. That's what Trump does with Fox.
Scare the hell out of yourself.
By hippie wolves. I didn't get to watch much TV. All right. Let's play a sound of this lawyer, and then we'll get to one serious story and then a serious announcement, and then we'll get to the fun half.
The woman, Natalia.
This is the attorney that Donald Trump Jr. worked with. She's speaking on the Today Show this morning.
Veselnetskaya at the center of a storm over a meeting with Donald Trump's son in June 2016.
You wake up one morning and find you are the focus of all the high-ranking upstream media.
On June 9th, 2 weeks after Donald Trump secured the nomination, his son, Donald Trump Jr., along with Jared Kushner and former campaign chair Paul Manafort, met with the Russian attorney.
In June, you met with Donald Trump Jr., with Jared Kushner, with Paul Manafort. What was the purpose of that meeting?
I never knew who else would be attending the meeting. All I knew that Mr. Donald Trump Jr. was willing to meet with me. I could recognize the young gentleman who was only present in the meeting for probably the first 7 to 10 minutes. And then he stood up and left the room.
Pause it. I like how Jared, if this account is true, does not even try to do like the whisper to Don Jr. Like, we should probably get out of here. He's just like, I think I'm going to go now, but I guess the idiot kid can stay here. This will probably come out at some point. No, I will not take the asbestos out of the black people's houses. We want to build a condo, goddammit. Okay, go ahead.
It was Mr. Jared Kushner, and he never came back, by the way. And the other individual who was at the same meeting was always looking at his phone. He was reading something. He never took any active part in the conversation. That was Mr. Manafort.
They had the impression, it appears, that they were going to be told some information that you had about the DNC. How did they get that impression?
It's quite possible that maybe they were looking for such information. They wanted it so badly.
And this morning, she denies claims she is connected to a Russian government effort to aid Donald Trump's presidency.
Have you ever worked for the Russian government? Do you have connections to the Russian government?
Yep. No.
What she was doing, she says, was lobbying against U.S. legislation that imposes sanctions on Russian individuals. Guys, this was a long interview. We are still picking through.
Okay, and look, she might be, if you take her at her word, I mean, then maybe what happened is she had a relatively, she wanted to talk apparently about this adoption issue, which I think is implicated maybe by some of the Obama administration sanctions on Russia. I'm not sure. But maybe she had a valid reason for wanting to talk. Goldstein misrepresented her reasons to Don Jr., and Don Jr. jumped at the, you know, and maybe she might be entirely in the clear. But
it was
certainly
it's a bit suspicious that when she's asked what the purpose of the meeting was twice, she says, I didn't know, I recognized the people, other people in the meeting, which doesn't answer that question the first time, and she didn't answer it the second time either. But,
yes,
you know, there's edits and there's a language barrier, so
right.
Who knows?
I like how Manafort just looked at his phone. He's such a gangster. Just sort of like, I have plausible deniability about listening to this. Look up Manafort and Stone and their consulting firm in the 80s where they parlayed their Reagan connections to lobby for almost any right-wing death squad or dictatorship on Earth. It was notorious even by Washington standards. But just really briefly, let's just touch on this.
Hey, they made money.
They made a lot of money. Definitely man knows how to make money. So while there's this going on, while there's the dirt from Russia, love it story going on, the neo-Confederate turn of this administration continues. And we know that Kris Kobach's incredible reach on sort of a giant national voter suppression commission is stumbling. States aren't cooperating. They're not agreeing to turn over this kind of information. But Talking Points memo reports that even as that effort may be faltering, and we still need to look at that effort, the Sessions Department of Justice is basically returning to Bush administration policies, which disenfranchised and suppressed voters. Now, I'll just quote briefly from Talking Points memo, and then we'll get to you, Waz. Led by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who will seek a scale back to access the ballot with an approach that has its antecedent in the scandal-plagued Justice Department of George W. Bush. It was signaled clearly in under-the-radar letter sent by the DOJ to most states last month. The letter did not get as much attention as the wide-reaching data request from the Trump Election Commission, which is led by Vice President Mike Pence, who, of course, has a very notorious record in Indiana on voting. Led by Mike Pence and hard-right Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach. But voting rights advocates told TPM that they find it concerning, if not more so, that they find it just as concerning, if not more so. It's a very clear intent is to purge more and more groups who possibly don't vote the way they want them to vote, League of Women Voters Chris Larson told TPM. Reading the cues in the letter, the National Voter Registration Act stands to be ground zero of Cummings voter suppression wars, with experts predicting the feds will use it as a pressure states into slimming down their registration rolls. It's indicating that the DOJ is going to be pushing states to take more and more people off the rolls instead of enforcing provisions of the NVRA that assist voters in getting registered and staying on the rolls, said Brenda Wright, Vice President of Policy and Legal Strategies at the Progressive Policy and Legal Group, Demos. Just one more graph. The letter dated June 28th asked states to hand over all to the feds all information, including the statutes, regulations, written guidance, internal policies, or database user manuals that determine when states remove from its rolls voters who believe to be dead or have changed addresses. It cites the NVRA, also known as the Motor Voter Law, which sought to streamline the process for registering to vote at the DMV or other government agencies. The law also mandates a reasonable standard of maintenance states must undertake to keep their registration rolls up to date. So, again, that last line means that the burden is going to shift to looking for people to kick off and eliminate and streamline versus broaden access, which is the initial purpose of the motor voter law. Probably actually really one of the best things that Clinton did in office was signing that law in.
Right. Man, whenever I think about voter suppression, I'm automatically reminded of this constant, you know, need for people in the mainstream media to be like, well, maybe the Democrats should abandon identity politics, right? Where right. You never hear anybody say that about the Republican Party, which, of course, they practice in that. Because
what identity politics you talking about?
What?
Mr.
What identity?
I saw a very arrogant Caribbean sports columnist talking. Right, you know, the Republicans are the white identity party.
Right, right, you know, right, and the thing is, it's like, why would we try to appeal to people who aren't white when we got this voter suppression thing? That works just as great. We don't have to get their votes. We eliminate them.
Well, and that's the strategy. And I think that, you know, that was really brought home. And it was funny because that was really brought home in that, you know, that infamous Asif Manvi segment that he did with the local official in North Carolina a couple years ago that was actually cited in a court case, right? And that guy basically did the pivot where he was sort of like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm personally sort of racist maybe, but I kind of get that you're not supposed to be anymore. But this isn't about racism. This is just about like clearing the field of people who don't vote for us. And they happen to be black, but they could just as easily be anybody. They could be young people, right? I mean, that's like the overlap, that the ascendant America is people who have, you know, it's difficult. They don't necessarily have the same forms of ID. It's not easy, you know, it's not as easy for them to follow these processes. So it's a great, it's a synchronized effort with yeah. Republicans. And, you know, I think it was very, like, was it surprising that, and I think Matt Chrisman of Chapo pointed this out, that like the same days that people are tweeting out, you know, how can Republicans stand by a healthcare bill that I think the highest poll numbers I saw was 17%, just a truly abominable piece of legislation that will harm most people. Why do they stand by it? Well, because this letter is getting sent to the states because Kris Kobach and Mike Pence, and Kris Kobach is a you know, virulently extreme xenophobic and deeply dangerous prototype Trump political official.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, if you can block the vote of people who are disproportionately harmed by what you do, that's synchronized politics. And that's why people need to read, you know, Nancy McLean's work as well, Democracy in Chains. That's what it is.
And, you know, this is where you see the basic and utter, hypocrisy of people who don't vote the same way that we do, where it's like, I'm a patriot, Second Amendment. I mean, like, what's more patriotic than voting, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's more central to the idea of this place than we get to participate in, you know, choosing our freaking overlords? It's like, nah, these guns.
Choosing
though,
our overlords. That's, you know, great.
It's crazy to me. But, you know, that's part of the strategy. And you know, you saw it after 2012 where there was like Charles Pierce has this joke about the rebrand, right? The quote-unquote rebrand, where right. It's like, yo, we got to go after Latin voters. Eventually, white
people... I have an alternative idea. What about they don't vote, exactly. And then we tell people that don't like them that they're rapists?
Yes, we double down
might,
on
that
it.
That might also work.
But, you know, that was the talk after 2012. It was about the Republican rebrand, and they're going to run Marco Rubio, and they're going to do all of this crap. And then it's like, no, we'll just suppress the vote. We don't need to get their votes if they can't vote.
Right.
And we'll double down on white identity. And that's been pretty successful, obviously.
So I have a brief announcement that we're going to make, but first I'm going to play something that will lead into the announcement. But I just want to say, we teased this, and Bhaskar teased this on Twitter. So, I don't know what the right music for this is, actually. I'm not leaving the Majority Report. It's really nice, the amount of tweets that I got, people asking me not to leave. I'm sure now that I said it, they'll be like, oh, fucking leave.
Well, you just said it in an ambiguous way. You said you're not leaving the Majority Report.
I am not leaving the Majority Report. I'm not trying to do a... like Trump speak here. I am continuing in my role at the Majority Report.
In a certain sense.
In a certain sense, I'm going to continue what we do in a certain way that people are saying. I'm really proud of what we do here, and I'm continuing. Dope Boys is continuing the same way for the foreseeable future, though there might be some adjustments to that. But there is a new thing that is going to be happening. And as a teaser for it, although it is not a perfect representation of what this show is going to be like, in some ways having Waz here today is somewhat of a tease of what this show is going to be like, because
ooh la la,
it's always a tease.
Showing a little leg?
It's
huh?
Showing a little leg, just nice. Like when you sent me my chocolates the other day, your damn self. So, you know, because for any project, I got to have my crew. But I just want to play this sketch that was put together by me and a friend of mine, Brian Spinks, who's an animator. He produced it, and we co-scripted it, recorded it together. And this is something that might be occurring with some frequency. This is a new right-wing Mandela radio show. Let's take a listen.
I've spent some time in South Africa. Nelson Mandela, he was a great man, but he was fighting against some great injustice. And, you know, we have a great injustice going on right now in this country with an ever-increasing size of government that is taking over and controlling people's lives.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
It's the Nelson Mandela Show. The freedom fighter takes to the airwaves.
The struggle against Obamacare was really like what we were doing to reverse apartheid.
He's bold.
The left hates Russia because Russia's a real man country.
He's not afraid to speak his mind.
People have distorted my record all along, but it makes sense. That's what the left does. They lie, they distort, they make your children transgender fags. Back at you in the bottom of the hour.
He's taking on the fat cats.
I have told you for a long time that Alex Jones is a deep state operative with connections to the Soros Foundation, the lesbian version of the CIA, and others.
He's taking on the snowflakes.
A small group active homosexuals on Oberlin campus have decided that burrito night is quote-unquote cultural appropriation, and they have staged a protest demanding that burrito night end. Now, burrito night has not ended, but we will be monitoring the story closely.
Your hypocrisy is kind of amazing.
They are cucks, and you are a homo. Get off of my line.
He's taking on heads of state.
And this was predicted in the Hadith. So now, as Islamic warriors, we spread the message through the foundation, or Hadid, to those brothers and sisters that don't recognize their true nature. That's part of next steps that Michelle and I are working. The arc of history is long, but it bends towards Sharia.
Meanwhile, people are complaining all the time about Donald Trump. Well, guess what? Hashtag Bernie would have won. And I don't hear a single word in the mainstream media about the endless body count and blood that is on my wife's hands. She enjoys the death.
He's taking on fake news.
And that's why eating burritos will make your daughter prematurely hormonal. And your wife's Pilates teacher, was she hot?
Because education is the most powerful weapon. The Nelson Mandela Show. Live.
All right, so
oh,
there it is.
Oh, my goodness. I can't lie, man. I'm a sucker for Nation of Islam Obama.
Me too.
The arc of history bends towards Sharia. Yes. Sign me up for that, please.
Oh my God.
So basically, I'm in August launching a new show. It's going to be called, very inventively, The Michael Brooks Show.
Wow. How long did that take you to come up with?
You know, ironically, it took a really long time because first you go through like a million, like,
ironic.
Yeah. And none of them work.
Right.
And then at a certain point, in like a state of exhaustion and trying to like come up with like clever inversions of like Vibes Cartel songs, you're just like, Michael Brooks Show. I've had an incredible group of people helping me put this together. Matt, Rich, Artesia, Mark,
Soros.
Ben, Steven, Sean, and basically what we're doing now, we're announcing a Patreon page today. And the goal that I want, and we've gotten some help out of the gate of this, out of the gate, and I'll tell you more as we move forward, but one person, Alex, has already kicked in $3,000 to help get this going. There's another big contributor I'm going to talk about and thank next
week.
Big
spender.
Yeah. And basically what I want is I want to get 1,000 people to pre-sign up for this. And you can go to the Patreon page, which is www.patreon, that's patreon.com/TMBS, The Michael Brooks Show. And everybody, people will start tweeting this out, a link to the Patreon page. There's also a link to it on the majority.fm site, with the hashtag Michael Brooks Show. I'm sure Waz is going to do that shortly. There's several different membership levels, but the base is $8 a month and you get 2 premium shows a week. One of those premium shows are actually going to be much more kind of heavily produced, basically, one segment is going to be an idea primer segment. I'm going to do like 5 to 10 to maybe even 15 minutes at times. Histories of what is the history of the Third Way? Where did it come from? Where did it arise? What are the ideological origins of it? And we're going to use archival footage. We're going to use, obviously sound clips to really kind of give you grounding in a story. Or conversely, you know, you hear terminology like hegemony or somebody like that, or people will reference someone like Gramsci, but who was this person and what did they actually think? So you have these idea primer premium segments. Then there's also an illicit history segment. As an example, one I'm working on is the role of the CIA in Jamaican political gang warfare in the 1970s and how that actually led to part of the sort of violence of the 1980s crack trade in New York and Miami. So these are things that want to make you real, you know, grounded in the subject areas and also give you tastes and bits of history that you wouldn't know otherwise. Then there's also going to be premium content, which will be extended interviews, subject matter that I'm going to crowdsource during the public version of the show to members for us to cover specifically in the overtime. There's going to be some flexibility to this, and we're launching in August, so we're still ironing some of it out. But the basic membership, and then also a Slack group, which will be a private sort of members-only group where you can kind of ask me questions, you can build some community around. And then there's several other membership levels which go up. The basic is the Brooksy. Then there's the Comrade for $21 a month. Mm. And that includes, you can also do a monthly Skype call with me. There's Show Crew, which is access to all the premium shows, the Slack, the Skype call, but also a voicemail and a choice of your favorite character recorded once per year. Then there is the Brooks Brother. So that's what we're wheeling out. We have Crew that are going to be joining me in this effort. Waz is going to be a regular. Noah Changa is going to be a regular. Hannah Geis from The Baffler is going to be a regular. Corey Pine is going to be a regular. Bhaskar Sunkara is going to be a regular. The other thing about the show, too, the other thing is that there will be more scripted sketches like the one you just played with Mandela. We're going to be working. I'm working with Brian Spinks on that. And we're also going to be hopefully working with some comedians and other people to sort of do interviews in that format, in the format of the characters. In addition to that, there will probably be a slightly more kind of longer-term focus because it is a weekly show. The weekly public version of the show, I should say, will be streamed once a week, Tuesday evening, streamed live on YouTube and on a podcast. And the types of guests we'll have, you know, that I have a pretty global kind of orientation. And it's not just going to be in the story selection, but we're going to try to be covering movements and people from different parts of the world, highlighting different things. So I'm working now with people who have connections to the Podemos Party in Spain, to the Labor Party under Jeremy Corbyn. We want to interview people and also people like, doing radical, local, progressive electoral politics. So we're going to be taking all of that on. Hope you'll join up and become a member. Hope you'll promote it on social media. And I'm still here every day. Just means that I'm going to be a hell of a lot busier. We will see you in the fun half. Where we can trash Mark Penn. And
that will be very fun.
Yeah, it will be very, very fun. And play a bunch more sound. Become a member of the Majority Report today. That's how this show keeps going. Join Majority Report. It's literally pennies a day. Like us on iTunes. Give us a rating. You know all the ways you can help. All right, see everybody in the fun half.
Sad. She said no.